Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I'm just running out of time. I did not able to get my full round of show prep in this morning. But I'm just scanning through some of the Fox News Radio stories available right now because, of course, we are your Fox News Radio affiliate here. 1370 KXTL Butte, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 1340 KPRK Livingston, and, of course, 970 KBUL Billings here with our flagship studios at the top floor of the Doubletree Hotel, downtown Billings. And it's still dark for now, but, man, the sun is coming up earlier and earlier. And so by 8 o'clock, we'll have a beautiful view of the mountains here. But for now, it's great to see the city wake up, great to see the city lights out there. You know, if I had a little bit more time to do some show prep here this morning, I thought about going back into our archives. Every day, you know, I'll try to grab some audio. Our producer will grab some audio. And, you know, because we do a four-hour show, so we've got to be prepared for anything. We can't just cover the national stuff. We got to cover the local stuff, the Montana stuff, too. And so we try to be ready for, you know, practically everything. But then we always get these great phone calls that bring even more to the table. And so, anyway, I'm scrolling through all these, you know, Fox News Radio stories. And obviously, one of the big stories is the disastrous situation that Pete Buttigieg and Obama's transportation secretary before him have really put our country in here when it comes to, you know, air traffic controllers and the FAA and really just the aviation industry in general. And then their COVID-19 stupidity forced a lot of people out of the jobs and out of the industries. But it's this DEI that we have already been, you know, blowing the whistle on, has put, you know, DEI is putting people in danger of DIE. And I should just go through our archives and just see, man, how many times have we talked about this just in the last 4 years alone? How many times have we talked about the near misses, the problems in our aviation industry, and the failed DEI policies where they weren't looking for the best air traffic controllers? They weren't, I'm not saying that there was anything, you know, wrong with whoever was at the helm in Washington, D.C., although apparently they didn't have enough people at the helm. But they were too focused on the color of the air traffic controller's skin than they were about just simply having enough air traffic controllers, frankly. And anyway, man, I'm going to jump into it here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show because we've got some guests joining us for Freedom Friday in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. I know we'll have more time, of course, to talk in, you know, the 8 and 9 o'clock hours today as well. But that can quickly pile up with phone calls and other topics. But Laura Ingraham had a must watch segment last night with two experts in the aviation industry talking about directly how these DEI policies have put this entire country at risk and in danger. And it's like we've been talking about this for at least 4 years. I know it came up under the Obama regime as well, but wait till you hear a little bit of what they had to say last night.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman, with breaks of sun and developing cloudiness around the area for today. High temperature readings will range from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with cloudy skies, low temperatures from the upper 20s to the lower 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll see high temperatures from around 40 in Bozeman to 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
This week, the Senate Armed Services Committee held a hearing on reforming the process of defense innovation and acquisition. Rhode Island Democrat Jack Reed summed up the challenge this way.
Time and time again, we have heard the system is too slow, too rigid, and too outdated to keep pace with the changing world.
While Mississippi Republican Roger Wicker expressed urgency.
We must change the way the Pentagon does business. Otherwise, there's no way we can maintain deterrence, particularly against China.
Witness Shyam Sankar, the chief technology officer at Palantir Technologies, testified that the way defense contractors work also needs to change.
They resemble state-owned enterprises instead of the innovative, founder-driven companies that they were once were.
He says the key to improvement is increasing competition, while Senator Wicker reminded the hearing the U.S. must maintain peace through strength. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
So there's more to this story about another rape suspect on an ICE hold in the jail in Bozeman, Montana. I started asking the question, how many people are in the jail in Bozeman on an immigration hold? There's a dozen of them. I got the full list. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, speaking of Bozeman, this is a must-see memorial in honor of fallen U.S. Marines is coming to Montana State University. Photos and more, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had to write down this line from Jesse Waters last night on Fox as well. Jesse Waters says, anytime you mention DEI, or especially anytime Donald Trump, President Trump, mentions DEI, these woke diversity, equity, inclusion policies and things like that. Anytime you mention DEI, the press goes crazy because that's their baby. Some of you might also call it their golden cow. DEI has become this golden cow of the left. It's this golden cow of the many in the liberal-dominated media as well. This is what set some of the White House press corps off yesterday. President Donald J. Trump, you know, obviously lots of questions were coming up about aviation safety and what is despite our problems, still the safest aviation industry in the world. But nonetheless, look at the problems and the near misses that we have seen in the last few years. In fact, Reagan National apparently just had a near miss in the last few days before this crash took place.
I do want to point out that various articles that appeared prior to my entering office, and here's one. The FAA's diversity push includes focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. That is amazing. Brilliant people have to be in those positions, and their lives are actually shortened, very substantially shortened because of the stress where you have many, many planes coming into one target, and you need a very special talent and a very special genius to be able to do it. Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run the Department of Transportation? He's a disaster. He was a disaster as a mayor. He ran his city into the ground, and he's a disaster now. He's just got a good lineup.
Yeah, a good lineup. Well, you know what? All right, that was part of what Jesse Waters featured on his program last night. He also had a good segment going into the history of these woke DEI policies and some of the insanity they were pushing, particularly with regard to the aviation industry and how they deliberately undermined, you know, the left under Biden, the left under Obama, they undermined the air traffic control jobs in particular. So Laura Ingraham had on last night retired commercial airline pilot Scott Petillo and aviation attorney Michael Pearson. Let's listen in on just a little bit about what they had to say on Laura Ingraham's show last night.
This is a preventable disaster. The system has been under attack due to DEI and the FAA bowing to wokeness since 2010, since the Obama administration. The lack of staffing is directly attributable to the Obama administration terminating the lists of eligible, well-trained air traffic control statements in 36 universities across the country in 2013 because they were too white. The FAA also, at the same time, implemented an immunity program So you think you're seeing legitimate statistics, you're not. In the old days, before 2010, the immunity program, if an air traffic controller got two airplanes too close, too many times, it would be decertified and retrained. Now, they're not. All they have to do within 48 hours of being noticed or being investigated for a potential separation error, they're called operational errors in the FAA, the controller just simply has to avail themselves of this program that gives them immunity. And when I say immunity, I mean immunity. The FAA cannot retrain these people. If somebody has a repetitive instance of malfeasance or lack of competency, the FAA, because of this immunity program, cannot rectify the situation. They have to basically allow the person to remain in the same position. It's very, very difficult for the FAA to retrain a controller, and it's attributed to, quite frankly, the union and the FAA working together to use this program to gerrymander the statistics of near-mid-air collisions. You mentioned that. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. Scott, do you agree that's a problem in the skies? I mean, you got the issue understaffed towers. You have the issue with, you know, there's some diversity element to this. We don't know fully how much it impacted this, if at all. But we do know that's clearly an undercurrent at the very least here.
All right. So we do know, at least the Washington Post is reporting that they were short-staffed at Reagan National Airport with air traffic controllers when this crash occurred. By the way, that was Michael Pearson who had the bulk of those remarks that we just shared with you. And then she gets more insight from Scott Petillo on, you know, what all this woke, you know, DEI stuff has done to the aviation industry in general. And then, of course, you pile the COVID-19 stupidity and the response to COVID-19 on top of it. And it has just put all this stuff on steroids. But, you know, I think, again, back on what, you know, Biden's FBI director said about how there are blinking lights everywhere about the threats facing this country. Look, there are blinking lights everywhere. And these blinking lights didn't get turned off because Donald Trump became president a little over 1 week ago. They have got a ton of fires that they need to put out right now, literally and figuratively, because of what has been building up over these last 4 years. And when we see blinking lights everywhere, it's not just the threats from terrorists and drug cartels. Well, same thing, terrorists, right? The blinking lights and the threats facing this country are also the massive problems that we've got inside, you know, a whole host of issues like, you know, air traffic controller issues, the aviation industry, and what a train wreck the Department of Transportation became under Buttigieg.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now, I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon. And the moment I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies. Hey, that's a great idea. But to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Bucky.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Republicans argue they have a mandate with the presidency plus control of the House and Senate. Yes, Republicans control 53 Senate seats, but Democrats held Senate seats in many true swing states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona. That blocked a bloodbath, and the House majority soon dwindles to a single vote. And while President Trump handily won in the Electoral College, he did not get 50% of the popular vote nationally. So advancing anything legislatively is going to be a challenge. Frankly, Republicans may need help from Democrats Democrats on some issues like avoiding a government shutdown or lifting the debt ceiling. Quote, that mandate does not exist, said Democratic Florida Representative Jared Moskowitz on Fox. Quote, they barely have a majority, and if they want to work with us, I think they're going to find a willing partner. Democrats are recalibrating their approach for Trump 2.0. Quote, I think Democrats last time around just resisted the president on everything, said Moskowitz. And that's what Democrats are trying to figure out right now, when to oppose Republicans and when to join them. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, Commodity Classic truly is America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused agricultural and educational experience. And National Association of Wheat Growers CEO Chandler Gould says, for wheat growers out here in the West, it's going to be the closest it's ever been, March 2nd through the 5th in Denver, Colorado.
Absolutely. This is the furthest west Commodity Classic has ever been, if you take out those few years that we spent in California. So we are literally bringing the largest farmer-led, farmer-owned, focused trade show literally to our wheat growers' back doors out there in the western part of the country.
He says, in addition to all the educational sessions, the Commodity Classics trade show is a fantastic experience for farmers.
If you want to see what tomorrow's agriculture is going to look like, Commodity Classic is where you need to be, just whether it's on equipment that is coming out from our dealers, new technology from our, you know, our crop providers and consultants, as well as, you know, new edge science and technology coming out with gene technology or anything along those lines. If it touches you or affects you as a wheat farmer or just a farmer in general, there is something for you at the Commodity Classic this year in Denver, Colorado.
And he says that NOG will also have a special celebration during this year's Commodity Classic trade show.
And you can stop by the NOG booth. We're going to have all of our living past presidents there. We're also celebrating the 75th year of NOG's anniversary, advocating on behalf of wheat growers. It's going to be an excellent celebration, a fun time, and a great place to learn and educate.
Again, it's the Commodity Classic, March 2nd through the 5th, headed for Denver, Colorado this year. For more information and to get registered, you can visit commodityclassic.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Maternal function, optimized growth, and customer service. That's what you get at Ellingson Angus. Hi, I'm Chad Ellingson, and I invite you to our production sale February 1st. 1,200 top-quality Angus will sell. Choose from 370 powerful bulls and more than 800 registered and commercial females. We offer free bull keep and delivery, marketing help, large sire groups, and volume discount. That's the Ellingson Angus sale February 1st at the ranch near St. Anthony.
I'm former Senator Greg Jurgensen from Chinook, and I'm a lifetime Montana Farmers Union member, because this organization has always been an effective voice for family farmers and ranchers at the Montana Legislature on issues from water to infrastructure to ag promotion.
Let your voice be heard. Join today and learn more by visiting MontanaFarmersUnion.com.
Well, 23 states, including Idaho, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Wyoming from our region, have joined the Iowa Pork Producers Association in an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court challenging California's animal housing law created by Proposition 12. Of course, the industry continues to fight the law, which they say is discriminatory because it regulates hog farming practices nationwide. The challenge stems from a previous Supreme Court ruling on the case, which determined California's law doesn't violate the Commerce Clause. Now, this latest challenge is asking the Supreme Court to consider whether lower federal courts should consider all U.S. Supreme Court justices' opinions to help determine the majority position on a legal issue. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Kelly in Glasgow just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, Trump, he has sure rustled the Democrat feathers Thursday morning with the DEI ordeal. Yeah, they don't want to be called out. on what they did to put this country at risk in a whole host of categories, do they? Don't you dare, you know, go after the, don't you try to rope their golden calf of DEI, right? Man, I tell you what, I should have played this clip first, almost before we got to, you know, the aviation experts that were on Laura Ingraham's show, and then President Trump, you know, calling out, you know, former Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg, who we all know the reason the guy got the job. It wasn't because he was competent. It wasn't because he knew anything about transportation. The guy couldn't even fill potholes when he was the mayor of a town in Indiana, for Pete's sake. But then, oh, because of what he does in the bedroom, they thought, oh, he checks a woke DEI checkbox. He gets to be the Secretary of Transportation. And now apparently the guy thinks he's such a big deal, he's going to go run for the Senate in Michigan. My goodness. See, that with the modern day Democrat Party, you don't have to be good at anything, really. You just check a few woke checkboxes and you'll be a celebrity. You can fail at your job and they will still treat you like a celebrity and try to promote you into another job, like being a senator from Michigan, apparently here. But this is another, you know, clip from Jesse Waters on Fox News last night, where he was highlighting a new report. I believe it's from the Washington Post, and then some other reporting that's now available, talking about this shortage apparently in air traffic controllers, and then some of the even more recent near misses.
Where's the alert 3?
It is off the approach end of runway 33. Approach end of runway 33. Helicopter crashed.
This is the deadliest air disaster in America since 9/11. No one's blaming the American Airlines pilots. Planes can't get out of the way as easy as choppers. The Black Hawk pilots were pretty experienced. The male pilot had 1,000 hours under his belt. The female pilot had 500. So what happened? Tonight, we're learning that the air traffic control tower at Reagan National was understaffed. The New York Times breaking the story that one controller was doing the job of two. The controller, who is handling helicopters, was also instructing planes that were landing and departing from its runways. That's not normal. That means you're using two frequencies, and the plane pilots can't hear the helicopter pilots. Reagan National has had staffing shortages for a while. They're supposed to have 30 air traffic controllers in the tower. They only had 19.
Yeah, so like I say, I should have played that little clip there before I played the other one from this aviation expert talking about why we have such a shortage in this particular sector in this country and why it's directly connected to this woke DEI garbage that we've been talking about for years here on shows like this. 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation, give us a call, or just like Kelly in Glasgow did, you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Let's see, man, yesterday, so I've got several new headlines on our Montana Talks website right now. One of them is this: another side to Montana's Medicaid expansion debate. We had a great conversation earlier this week with former Bozeman State Representative Tom Burnett. He's always good at pulling up the numbers. And anyway, we were talking with him about Medicaid expansion in the Montana legislature. And he made several great points. But the point that I appreciated the most, because unfortunately, it sounds like you've got, you know, a handful of Republicans that will team up with Democrats to just push the Medicaid expansion renewal through. But that's why I appreciated that Tom Burnett talked about how they need to ensure that there is a court-proofed work requirement that is a part of any Medicaid expansion. Renewal, reauthorization, they need to court-proof that sucker, basically, is what he is saying here. Meaning that, okay, that if some liberal court here in Montana or elsewhere decides to say, no, we're going to turn down, we're going to allow the Medicaid expansion, you know, to continue, but we're going to strip out this work requirement for able-bodied adults because we think they should just get free stuff that the rest of you go to work and pay for every stinking day. And so what he's saying is court-proof the work requirement to where, okay, if some liberal court throws the work requirement out of there, then that throws out Medicaid expansion altogether. Anyway, so we've got that story and the full audio on our Montana Talks website if you missed it. What else? Man, the governor proposing permanent property tax relief. Peter Christian's got a report for us on that front as well. And then we had our legislative update yesterday with both Democrat and Republican leadership. So a lot to chew on there. Speaking of chewing on things, how many of you have been chewing on a little too much over the past few months? Or how many of you, hey, it's almost February. Tomorrow is going to be February 1st. How many of you on January 1st, you said, that's it. It's the new year. I'm hitting the gym. I'm going to go lose weight. I'm going to go burn off this fat. And now you're realizing like, oh, man, you know, and exercising is great. I would encourage everybody to go to a gym and get a membership and exercise. But here's the thing. What you may find is that you can exercise all you want or all you don't want, and you're still not going to burn off that fat. You're still not going to lose that weight because you're going to get hungrier. You're going to want to eat more. Plus, your body might go into muscle building mode instead of fat burning mode. That's why what I like to do, I like to start off the new year with a diet tune-up at Billings Last Diet. Trim that fat off. Do a quick tune-up. And then, you know, when you go back into the gym, you shed all that fat, you shed all that weight. Now you can really get healthy. Anyway, check it out. BillingsLastDiet.com. Check them out.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, one thing I mentioned very briefly in this 6 o'clock hour of the show earlier in the week was the UK Daily Mail had a story, the shocking inside account of Chinese spy balloon fiasco and what the government did not tell you. And there was one thing in there that was pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting. They interviewed the former commander of NORAD, General Van Herk. Anyway, and so there's a very interesting angle to that story. In about 1 hour, Larry Mayer, the great Billings Gazette photographer, he's been a photographer for them for over 40 years. He is definitely one of the good ones in the media who's just does an incredible job of photographing history, photographing the news. And so he's seen a lot. But anyway, he was the one, remember, he was the one who got that infamous China spy balloon photo when the China spy balloon was floating over our heads here in Montana. And then that's what really got that story to break out nationally. Other people were seeing it, of course, but it was his photo that really prompted so many others in the media to finally start asking some questions. Larry is going to be with us. Larry Mayer is going to be with us in about 1 hour talking about this new story from the UK Daily Mail. Shocking inside account of Chinese spy balloon fiasco and what the government didn't tell you. So we'll get to that. Let's see. Cameron in Billings just sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Now, maybe I missed something. Was there a question about this in the 6:30 Fox News update? So Cameron in Billings messaged us. He says, if they can't find the helicopter's black box, would it be a pretty safe bet to say that it is unfair play? How often are those boxes lost? Now, the reason why I ask you guys, our listeners, okay, so Caden's telling me, thanks for that message. Caden's saying in the 6:30 Fox News update, I was trying to grab some other things, so I wasn't as intently listening as I should have been to that Fox News update. But so what Caden is telling me is that in the 6:30 a.m. Fox News update, they talked about having located the black boxes for the American Airlines jet that was involved in this collision with the Black Hawk helicopter. So Cameron is wondering, well, if they can't find the helicopter's black box, would it be a pretty safe bet to say that it is unfair play? I was talking right before the break about how we've got all these headlines on our Montana Talks website right now, some legislative updates from Senate President Matt Regeer, who joined us on the show yesterday. We've also got audio of the weekly legislative update with Democrat House Minority Leader or House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin out of Missoula, who was with us on the show yesterday. That was all in the 9 o'clock hour, so you guys might have missed it. Many of you early risers might also have missed our conversation in the 8 o'clock hour of the show Thursday. We had retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb. He's in Helena. He was a helicopter pilot. He flew Blackhawks. I think he flew some other platforms as well, but he definitely flew the Blackhawk. And one of the things, one of the big takeaways, and I wrote about this on our Montana Talks website, is that we may never know what took place inside that cockpit of that Blackhawk helicopter. And here's why. So I was talking with him, getting his take just on everything that he was seeing and hearing about, the plane crash and the helicopter crash, and getting his take as a Blackhawk pilot. And he's been on Fox News. I think he did 37 interviews in about 24 hours after that crash took place. But this actually came up because I was talking about how crowded the airspace is at Reagan National, and really just in the skies above Washington, D.C. I mean, you've got everything. You've got, Capitol Police, I think, have a chopper. You've got military choppers in the air. And the president has his own, Marine One choppers that he will sometimes fly around in. And then, of course, if you have the president flying around in one, well, you need a decoy or two flying as well so that they don't necessarily know which one the president may or may not be in at that given time. And then you've got all sorts. And then, of course, with the airport, it's very dense airspace. And then listen to what Lieutenant Colonel retired Darren Gobb said after that.
Because of that dense airspace, it gets down to a question of what do the aircraft have to potentially help warn them about a possible obstacle or hazard. Well, the commercial airlines have a TCAS, which is basically an alert system that lets them know they're close to a collision, something that they're going to hit. That's mandatory in commercial aircraft. It's, let's call it in a degraded mode below 1,500 feet, still operational, but it can overwhelm a pilot if it goes below 1,500 feet, because then everything becomes an obstacle and the aircraft's announcing it to you, and it interferes with you as a pilot from focusing on the radios and flying the plane. That system does not exist on a UH-60 Lima Blackhawk, nor does a black box voice recorder or data recorder in that particular model. Mm. So you're not going to get the typical NTSB black box that says, you can replay back everything that was said, or be able to replay back all of the instrumentation and readouts that were there all the way up to the point of impact.
So we may never know what they said or what they saw, what they said, or what was going on inside of that Blackhawk, but like we could with the airline flight itself. What are some other big takeaways? I know you probably got to run here, but when we hit our... All right, so that was interesting. And Now some may wonder, well, is it different for this, specialty detachment at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, which is where this Blackhawk was is headquartered at? And he said that he's familiar with, of course, that detachment and is familiar with their capabilities. So, so that's very interesting. So kind of in answer to Cameron's message or question there on the Montana Talks app, and thanks for sending that. We may never know what took place inside of that helicopter for that very reason, because they don't have a black box. Now, some of you might say, well, why don't they? Well, I saw our friend Kat out in eastern Montana. She shared that story. I wrote it yesterday afternoon, put it on our Montana Talks website. She shared it on X. And then I noticed there were some interesting comments. There was, especially from some other folks who, appeared to have a good knowledge of not just the aviation industry, but also of the Blackhawk helicopters as well. And they said, well, one of the main reasons why you would not have a black box on and a U.S. military helicopter, for example, is because of the fact that, look, if this thing were to crash in enemy territory, and then that voice recorder was able to get into enemy hands. You don't want the enemy to have access to that type of information, that type of intelligence, shall we say. Now, I wonder if that could draw up another conversation to say that, okay, well, yeah, on overseas operations, yeah, maybe you wouldn't need a black box, but what about domestic operations? Is that something that we should look that we should look at having? I don't know. That's where I'd have to throw that to somebody, you know, like a Black Hawk, you know, a helicopter pilot veteran, somebody like Colonel Gobb or somebody else. But anyway, yeah, that was in the 8 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. If you want to hear more, of course, full audio is always there on demand on the Montana Talks app. If you want to go back and listen to that, especially some of you aviation buffs in particular. All right, the blinking lights everywhere. That was the soundbite from the FBI director, Joe Biden's FBI director, and he was talking about all of the threats facing this country. Kash Patel had his hearing yesterday. You guys have heard Kash Patel on this show. Man, what an incredible American patriot. He's just got such a great background to serve as FBI director. But the biggest thing they tried to go after him on, and they didn't lay a glove on Kash Patel yesterday during his confirmation hearing. But who was it? You know, Adam Schiff, yeah, of all people, Adam Schiff and Dick Durbin, that guy out of Illinois, Dick Durbin. They tried to call Kash Patel a conspiracy theorist. It's really? Oh, Kash Patel's the conspiracy theorist. You guys were the ones who lied about Hunter Biden's laptop. You guys were the ones who, you know, basically manufactured, you know, Russia collusion hoax. You guys straight up lied about all that. Oh, but you want to call Kash Patel a conspiracy theorist? No, actually, Kash Patel is the one who debunked your Russia conspiracy theory hoax. And so he's got an incredible background. I know Katie Britt, the senator out of Alabama, was talking about how he was embedded with SEAL Team 6. He's worked as a public defender. He's worked as a federal prosecutor. He's been embedded with some of the best of our military. I mean, what more could you ask for to have a better FBI director to handle all the blinking lights of, you know, danger that is facing this country right now? Not just outside of our government as well, but inside our government, the threats facing this country, the weaponization of government, and much more. But yeah, Kash Patel did a great job. I was going to get to some of those highlights this hour of the show, but we'll have to save that for later this morning. Stand by, the legislative update's next.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Allowing illegal immigrants into our country without vetting them. You know, 14, 15 million, whatever the number is. And now we have known terrorists, murderers, rapists, gang members, cartel members in the country. To this day, I don't even have a good explanation as to why the Democrats would do something to put our country at such risk. Americans have been murdered and raped, victims of violent crime. It has cost this country a fortune, providing food, housing, health care, education. I mean, it's impacted our criminal justice system. It's hurt our kids' educational opportunities. You know, we see the level of fentanyl has gone through the roof.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices, and with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword save now and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250, keyword save now from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather.
for Billings and Bozeman. With breaks of sunsets and developing cloudiness around the area for today. High temperature readings will range from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, with cloudy skies, low temperatures from the upper 20s to the lower 30s. And then for Saturday, we'll see high temperatures from around 40 in Bozeman to 50 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, or you can't drive high. You can run, or you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslofty.
Today, hundreds of students from across Montana will travel to the Capitol, put on bright yellow scarves, and join legislators on the North Steps to celebrate National School Choice Week. The tradition began over a decade ago when the school choice movement, also known as parental choice in education, began to change the educational environment. Prior to school choice, students were stuck in a one-size-fits-all education model. Yes, some were homeschooled or had the resources to attend private schools, but most students had to settle for their local public school. That was fine as long as the school was a good one and it fit their learning style. But what if it wasn't? What if the school was underperforming or didn't fit a child with special needs or suffered from high dropout rates? What was the alternative? Unfortunately, there were none. Then came the novel idea of creating a smorgasbord of schools so that struggling students could search through a wide array of options and find their perfect educational fit. Out of this was born the school choice movement. It swept the nation and finally allowed struggling students or students from lower income families to access the quality of education previously available only to their wealthier counterparts. Montana was fairly late to the game, but that wasn't all bad. We were able to sift through the options developed in other states and then adopt only those that were most successful. And in an ironic twist, Montana wound up leading the nation when our first school choice attempt was ruled unconstitutional by the Montana Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court agreed to hear the appeal and ultimately overruled the Montana Supreme Court. Not only did Montanans win, but other states as well. The case, known as Espinosa versus Montana Department of Revenue, nullified religiously discriminatory language in 38 state constitutions. The end result was even more school choice for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of additional students nationwide. In addition to tax credit scholarships that allow students to attend the school of their choice, including private religious schools, Montana now has charter schools and education savings accounts that allow students with disabilities to use some of the money that would have been used to educate them in a public school and use it to transfer to a school that better accommodates their particular disability. And to show just how far we've come, this year's push is for education savings accounts for all students by establishing Montana's Academic Prosperity Program for Scholars, or MAPS for short. The bill sponsor is Representative Lee Deming from Laurel, a retired high school civics teacher, and the list of co-sponsors reads like an A-list of political celebrities, including the Senate President, Speaker of the House, Senate President Pro Tem, Speaker Pro Tem, the majority leaders of both houses, the Education Committee Chairman of both houses, and the powerful Appropriations Chairman. Rarely do you see a list of co-sponsors with that much political horsepower. This bill has legs, and it's set for a hearing this afternoon in honor of National School Choice Week. The rally, organized by the Montana Family Foundation, begins at noon with a reading of Governor Gianforte's proclamation in support of Parental Choice in Education Week. Other speakers include the Speaker of the House, the Senate Education Chairman, school choice advocates from across the state and nation, a high school principal, and a letter of support from United States Senator Steve Daines. Choice in education is an idea whose time has come. It's sweeping the nation, providing students of all income levels and all academic abilities with the chance to finally find their perfect educational fit. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslofi reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff for that update once again. Yeah, today noon at the state capitol in Helena. And I think they'll have some pizza and some refreshments, et cetera, for folks who are able to make the trip to the Capitol for that. All right, let's see. We got to get to some Kash Patel confirmation hearing highlights and much more on this Freedom Friday. So thankfully, we still got 3 hours to go, but we're going to run out of time before we get to everything. I'll guarantee you that.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Right now, I'm sitting on an IKEA chair, tapping on the keyboard of a Dell laptop. My internet service comes from T-Mobile. My clothes were delivered by Amazon. In a moment, I'll drive to my office in a car made Hyundai and burning gas that was refined by Exxon. I say this not to collect product endorsement fees from all those companies. Hey, that's a great idea. But to point out a simple fact. Corporations, yes, out-of-state corporations, have made our lifestyles possible. Ever since the demise of Anaconda Copper Company decades ago, Montana has been a state that professes a distaste for corporations, or big business, or whatever you want to call them. And since we're not home to many large companies, that disdain is directed out-of-state. But the fact that so many of the goods and services we consume every day are made by corporations we disparage is not the triumph of evil that some make it out to be. It's a story of success, of larger companies taking advantage of size and scale to turn out cheaper, better, more standardized products that we can afford. I'm Patrick Bunty.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.